latest update. Literally 2 minutes into our shift, we're now being called to a gunshot incident in SW2. We're in the rapid response car, which means we can get there a little bit quicker than an ambulance might be able to. All we understand is that a male has been shot on a bus. We have the blue lights on, the siren is roaring, and I'm with my paramedic, Martin Carey. We're just passing Stockwell Station. We understand in the control centre there's already been 3 stabbings tonight, but now at 10 past 10 on a Friday night in London, a young male shot on a bus. Martin, I don't want to distract you. Tell me to be quiet if you want. But how exactly are you feeling right now?
Obviously apprehensive. I just don't know what we're going to go to. My main concern is obviously safety. That's the paramount with all of us.
We're just arriving now at the scene. There are police officers already here. Martin is now going to leave me slightly and go and do his job.
There may be one or two people injured here. We haven't been able to get any information from the young guy, how it's happened or who's involved. So obviously the threat of someone still being in the area with a gun is very paramount at the moment, which is why we've got the armed police to protect us here at the moment. He's been shot twice in the face. He's obviously conscious at the moment, but we've got to determine now the injuries of whether the bullets are still lodged in him at all. We're going to do some basic observations on him. But he will be going in as a trauma call, give you the information on that when I get it shortly. Okay.
This is Classic FM.
It's 2 o'clock. I'm Lucy Card. A survivor of the July 7th London bombings has told the inquest there was a lull in the carriage at Edgware Road as injured passengers waited for medical help to arrive. For Classic FM, Declan Harvey reports from the Royal Courts of Justice.
Jason Rennie was forced to use his teeth to rip up his shirt and stem the blood flow from David Gardner's leg because his own right hand was badly injured. The two men talked as they waited for medics to arrive. They discovered they were both from the same area of South Africa and had attended the same training camp for the National Service. But the conversation slowed and Mr. Rennie noted the flurry of activity from other passengers ceased. During the 45-minute wait, he said he saw 2 victims pass away.
And here we go. Here we go. Mother of Lord. The bit I've been warned about is the first right bank. We do a steep turn, I'm told. And here come that right turn. Woo! God, your head swims. But I should tell you a little bit about how we're gauging the altitude. All of the Falcons have attached to their wrist what appears to be a compass at first glance, but on closer inspection, it's a dial. And as we rise, it tells them what height we're at. And we're hoping to get up to 4,000 feet. They can, of course, jump from anything up to 12,000 feet, which is, 3 times higher than this. And here goes the ramp. My word. It's at level. Sergeant Jimmy O'Brien is the first guy to stand out. He's standing about a metre away from the edge of the platform. What's remarkable is that this doesn't seem remarkable. This is LBC's Declan Harvey, 4,000 feet above Biggin Hill Airfield.
The Dromoxie villagers, most of them have now been removed off the square. They're standing over on the footpath beside the Treasury building. I'm standing on the Westminster Palace side of the square, just below Big Ben, as the time approaches 3:25. Up on one of the scaffoldings inside the square is one of the protesters called Simon, and what may be a radio first, I'm going to try and interview him as he speaks to me through a loudhailer because he's not going anywhere just yet. Simon, tell us about the moment that the bailiffs arrived.
The bailiffs arrived and it sparked the realisation that it is the moral duty of every citizen of this country to withdraw support to corrupt government whilst it is engaged in aggressive wars.
Well, just describe to me exactly where you are at the moment.
I am sitting above a scene of injustice. Around me I can see men and women of law enforcement and bailiffs of the court dismantling what was and what still is a very powerful protest to say that what this country is doing is wrong.
Thank you very much indeed, matey. Well, if you just bear with me, Anthony, I'm going to run over to Camilla Power. She's one of the other Democracy villagers.
Sir. Sorry? Can you make your way off the land, please?
Yeah, sir. Sure. I just want to come over here and have...
Stay on the pavement, sir.
All right, no problem. I'm on the pavement.
No, you're on the pavement, sir.
Yeah, I'm on the pavement, sir. Thank you.
Stay there, please.
Yeah, no problem.
Okay, Declan, was that an enforcement officer or a police officer asking?
That was an enforcement officer wearing the bright orange bibs, and as you can see, they're not really taking much nonsense.
In the past fortnight alone, gang violence in London has been making the headlines.
A young man's died after being stabbed during rush hour at Victoria Underground Station. An eyewitness told LBC a large group of young people were involved.
The mother of an aspiring footballer from Enfield who was stabbed to death in the street says he had dreamed of playing for Manchester United.
Teachers are being told to look out for signs of gang activity, such as pupils wearing stab vests, dressing alike or using...
It's estimated around 200 gangs are operating in inner London. And research has shown a third of young people in mainstream education have admitted to carrying a weapon. Two-thirds of those who've been excluded from school admitted the same. But it's not just knives and guns. Rape and dangerous dogs are quickly becoming weapons of choice.
Above all, technology has revolutionised gang wars. Back at my desk, in a quick search on YouTube, within seconds I'm bombarded with menacing videos produced by gangs to taunt each other. Bullets in your grill will leave you with a bent face. Tell a friend. Red bandana, bloody dog, that's my team. When I'm on the phone, I talk the talk, talk it. But when I'm on your block, you know back, I walk the walk. Bust, listen. I bust shots any day. Every day. They say they're gonna put me in the early grave. Story. Put two G's. As the Prime Minister was calling the election this week, three MPs gathered in Westminster to discuss the issues around gangs. I asked Labour's Diane Abbott why she called the debate.
Because London still doesn't feel safe, particularly for young men and their families.
Pulling into the front gate of Holyrood House as I speak are 2468 police, motorbikes, BMW car going in. And this is the beginning of the 15-strong papal motorcade. Range Rovers going in, a black one, a grey one, a large people carrier, another large people carrier, another large people carrier, another Range Rover, a big police Range Rover, another large people carrier, and another one, and a bigger bus is following that one. Two more bigger buses after that, and behind it is an ambulance, a couple more police cars. And inside one of those, many of them have blacked out windows, but inside one of those will be the Pontiff, His Holiness Pope Benedict the 16th, of course, invited here by the Queen back in March. And this is it. This is what makes it a state visit.
This is 95.8 Capital FM, London.
Just after 6 o'clock, another afternoon of violent student protests in the centre of London has left 11 people injured, including two police officers. Thousands of people are being held by police cordons on Whitehall at the moment. Capital's Declan Harvey's in Westminster with the very latest.
Around 5 hours ago, 2,000 students arrived here. They vandalised a police van and sprayed graffiti on some of the walls around Whitehall. Now they're being contained by the police. Some of them, we understand, have been huddling around fires that they've started, doing their homework, waiting to be released. They're letting them go gradually, but it will take some time. Many of them are now very, very cold.
Max, Siva, Tom, Jay and Nathan from The Wanted. Welcome to LBC, lads.
Thank you very much.
Yes, Ronos. If I turn to you, Tom, why this gig? All you guys are giving your time to the charity. Why the specific charity?
Do you know what? As soon as we heard, like, found out about the whole gig, we was like, we really want to be on that, because I think me and Max, his families, have both been affected by, like, the whole situation in Afghanistan and Iraq. So I think it's just about giving something back to everyone, and hopefully we can do that and raise some money for it.
Do you mind me asking what your connection is?
My cousin went out there and he got his leg blown off. So hopefully he's called Billy, so hopefully I can get something back to him.
Hello, Billy.
Okay, well, listen, finally, Siva, I'll turn to you and ask you to give a message to all those people who've paid the ticket price out there, 60 quid ahead. What exactly do you want to say to them?
If it's cost 60 quid for a ticket to support the guys out there, then let it be so. And a high five to all those guys out there. He's risked so much so we can sit on our couches safe. So, high five.
Well, Siva, can I just say what a ridiculous, silly Irish accent you have as well? Okay, well, that's The Wanted. We're still here in Twickenham. We're going to be here all night. We'll be talking to some of the big names.